16.1, funding for urban renewal. I think this is the key substantive issue of Synod. And notice the procedural motion that will have been passed on day one, allowing 10 or so minutes to be given over to speeches against this proposal. Bit of background. The development in the Greenfields areas of Sydney, these are new suburbs in the northwest and the southwest growth corridors. We are looking with the funds coming from the Greenfields levy, currently 2% of parish income, which is raising $2 million a year. They are buying land in new suburb releases. And then the Archbishop's New Churches for New Communities fundraising drive is looking to provide the money to put the bricks and mortar on the dirt purchased by the Greenfields fund. That will take care of about 30% of the expected population growth in Sydney. The other 70% of the projected population growth in Sydney and the Illawarra is going to come not from the greenfield suburbs, but from the brownfield suburbs, infilling, houses being knocked down and apartment blocks being put up. Last year we asked for this report, and that's on page 56 and paragraph 12. We asked for this, and now we've got it. And I think there are, before we get to the details of the FIR committee, let me try and summarise the issues. We want to be thinking not as corporate leaders and just with our focus on filthy lucre. We want to be thinking as men and women of the living God. We want to be thinking as Christians, and that means thinking theologically. Here are a couple of questions to help you down that line of thought. Number one, do we want to reach the Georges River region with the gospel? Do we want to reach those tracts of Sydney which have got Anglican land but very small congregations, very old facilities? Do we want to see those parts of Sydney reached with the good news of Jesus? Second question, what is the best way to reinvigorate ministry and mission in those areas? What's the best way to reinvigorate ministry and mission in those areas with small struggling churches? Given that they've got church buildings there, they were back 50, 60 years ago, they were thriving faith communities, but not so now. What is the best way to reinvigorate ministry in those areas? Third question, to what extent do facilities constrain, hamper, or facilitate gospel work? To what extent do our bricks and mortar, our built environment, encourage or frustrate gospel work? So there are three questions. Do we want to be reaching regions, areas like the Georges River region with the gospel? What's the best way to do that? And thirdly, to what extent do facilities influence, for good or for bad, gospel work? And there does seem to be a positive, demonstrable correlation between church buildings, investment in infrastructure, and increased church attendance. Now, this debate doesn't focus us on the wealthy areas. In fact, I addressed the Synod reps from the Lower North Shore last night and looked them squarely in the eye and said, this is not about you. This is about the lower socioeconomic areas of Sydney, whose parishes can't raise $1 million for an extension, who can't get the debt together to fund a $3 million redevelopment. Getting a DA is really hard work, and there's an argument to suggest that it's going to be even harder as councils are tightening up the restrictions on POPWs, places of public worship. I was talking to Raj, who's the chair of the FIR committee. He reminded me that it was the parish of Dundas that has had to sell a block of land because Parramatta Council does not want churches in residential areas. Parramatta Council wants churches in industrial areas. It's only going to get harder for us to invest in churches that are bang in the middle of where people live. Now, if we agree there is a brownfields gospel need, and if we agree that investing in infrastructure is necessary and sufficient to see the gospel go out, to see ministry and mission reinvigorated, well, then how do we fund it? Because it doesn't come for free. On page 55 and paragraph 10, only 13 of 270 parishes can afford a $3 million project. 13 out of 270. That's not a lot. Then on pages 56 and 57 of book one, there are, as a very, we see the good work of this committee. They've looked at as many different funding options as they can think of. And this brings me to, I think, the glaring hole in their report and also to the 20 bucks. They've looked at some of the ways that we could raise money. We could draw down the Dawson Endowment. We could fundraise. We could redeploy lazy assets, sell off some dirt to buy, invest in other dirt. We could underwrite loans. We could offer interest-free loans. Well, the great shortcoming in this report, Raj, and I have to speak candidly because this is on the record, what you have failed abysmally to think through is a gala dinner every year in one of the big hotels in town. The good and the great of Sydney would come together, and of course we would call it the Fur Ball. Anyone who is prepared to use that joke in Synod, I will take this $20 note and give it to Grant Millard to kickstart Anglicare's Christmas campaign. The Fur Ball. You heard it here first. So they looked at a number of different options to get money to these brownfield areas on the assumption that there is indeed a demonstrative positive correlation between the built environment and people coming to church. The recommendation they've come to is to kickstart this funding need via a $3.5 million drawdown of the Dawson Endowment. It was 9 years ago in 2007, pre-GFC, that we drew $20 million out of the endowment. $9.3 million of that was used to fund brownfield, to seed fund brownfields development. That $9 million leveraged $42 million of building work. The proposal is to kickstart the FIR fund. FIR is funding for urban renewal. That's what we're thinking about with this motion. Kickstart with a $3.5 million drawdown of the endowment in two tranches, and then to increase the Greenfields levy from the existing 2% to 4% by 2020. So in 4 years' time, we would be paying, each parish would be paying 4% out of their offertories to fund brownfields and greenfields capital infrastructure. 2% going to greenfields and an extra 2% progressively introduced over 4 years to fund brownfields work. That's the funding side. Then we come to the... All right, just before I leave the funding side, there are also reports from the Glebe Board and the Dawson Resources Committee looking at respectively the impact of the drawdown and the impact of an increased levy on the endowment and on parishes. And predictably and not unreasonably, they've come to the conclusion that if we take money from one area and spend it on the other area, we will have less money in the first area. So it's going to come at a cost. So if we draw money down out of the endowment, that's going to reduce the annual stream of money into the Synod Fund. And if we increase the Greenfields levy from 2% to 4%, an extra 2% on parishes, that means parishes are going to have by 2020 approximately, what does the report say? 2% less money to spend, because it will be invested in brownfields areas. It's going to cost. Somewhere, somehow, someone's got to pay the piper. That's the funding side of the FIR motion. But for me, I think the real genius and value and worth of this motion and the work of the committee is not on the funding side, because talking about paying for things is never pleasant, but it's on the spending side. And pages 60 to 61 outline an empirically based scoring system that will look at deciding if there's a pot of, say, $5 million, but parishes in brownfields put their hands up for $20 million worth of money, how are we going to distribute that $5 million into the $20 million of need? It just ain't going to go. So on pages 60 and 61, there is an empirically based scoring system that looks at population growth, the capacity of churches to internally fund their own redevelopment work, the strength of parish leadership, tapping into the NCLS data, looking at what conversion growth is the parish seeing, what's their track record in commending Christ to their suburb, and finally, how constrained are they by their existing property? I commend particularly pages 60 and 61 to you. And that brings me to the end of that section.